Hello and welcome to episode 36, that's six squared, of Crippled System. My name is Nathan. I actually now, since Gen Con, I have enough models to say that I play Convergence.
I'm Jeremy and I play Retan Legion and board games.
I'm Andy. I play Trollbloods.
Are they painted yet? You're not allowed to play them until they're painted.
No, okay, I play painting.
This is Brian. I play the Crixons. I'll be painting the Scorn soon.
And board games.
And board games. Lots of board games.
My name's Tim. I play Trollbloods and Protectorate, and board games and video games. And I also draw a comic strip.
Woohoo!
Oh.
Yeah, we didn't actually. Tell
I didn't know that.
It's a surprise.
You drew a comic strip? Wait, we what? I just thought it was like one of Andy's buddies.
Excellent.
No, for those of you who are our listeners and not his listeners, which I guarantee is a small subsection of people bothering to listen to this, that is our special guest, Tim Buckley.
Yes. I don't actually have listeners.
You don't have listeners.
I don't have listeners. I have lookers.
You have followers.
You have lookers, yes.
I have readers.
Well, no one wants to look at our
products. Readers. I have readers.
You have readers.
Right. Readers
lookers
and lookers.
Lookers is creepier, though. I like
lookers
it.
Is creepy. Lookers is pretty creepy, which actually, that would be accurate for some of the people.
I am generally a looker, so yes, that is
I'm a devoted Tim Buckley looker.
There's a t-shirt. We can't stop
making
them.
And now I'm moving.
To Wisconsin, right?
No. Not anything against Wisconsin.
Oh, no, you can have things against
me. But I'm an East Coast... I'm an East Coast boy. I need everything close together. Like this whole spread out thing, it freaks me out. There's too much space. There's just too much. Like there's a void.
I should know this because I read your comic, but I don't actually know where on the East Coast you live.
I am originally from Massachusetts, and I'm currently living in Connecticut.
Patriots fan? Tell me you're a Patriots fan.
Oh yeah.
Hell yes. Oh,
yeah. Son
Screw
of a...
all of you.
I was. You know what? I mean, because we have
to be. Be you.
We have to be like we.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, growing
by
up
by law.
And yeah. And obviously, when I grew up, I mean, there was this. Because I grew up in the whole section when the Red Sox
sucked. Sox were terrible my whole life.
Yeah, I mean we had the Celtics for a while and that was good. I grew up in that whole era of like I am a Red Sox fan.
Yep.
You know, like you have to be a Red Sox fan because you can't go south to New York.
Oh no, hell
absolutely
no.
Absolutely
not. You will get killed.
We have the Brewers, and if you go south, it's Chicago, and you got the Cubs and stuff, and that's just sacrilege. So I know the pain of
and White Sox too.
Yeah, well.
And that's a big rivalry between the Cubs and the White
and
Sox as well.
And my sister, I love my sister. She moved to New York, and she heard the license plate on her truck says "One Sox Girl."
Nice.
She had it. She originally had it on this Camry that she got from my parents, and that car got beat up.
I'll bet.
Because she would. I mean, because obviously, you park that car in New York, people are going to just kick that car. But she represented
fantastic.
It down in New York, and
you might as well have a license plate that says Kimi.
That's glorious. I am awesome. Even more excited about our special guest now.
I will say, the one time I watched basketball was back when Celtics and Larry Bird. That's the only time I like, watched
That's
the Celtics.
Larry Bird.
I have a cousin named Larry Bird. And I'm, like one branch of my family, the last name is actually Bird, and he ended up being Larry.
I'm sure no one's ever made any reference to him on that. With that.
Never.
That never happened.
I had it's like the Office Space thing. One of my buddies in high school, his name was Dave Matthews. Of course, this is in the 90s. People were like, you must be a huge fan. It's like, I just have the same name. God damn it.
Yeah. How's your band, Dave?
Shut up.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I've always said if I moved back, I'm not a big city guy, but if I moved to a city, it'd be Boston. I loved Boston.
I mean, I love where I am right now because I'm practically equidistant between Boston and New York.
Well, you're closer to New York, so I judge that a little bit, but...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, where I'm at, it is a little closer to New York, and then it's like...
It is a nice area, though.
It's not bad. It's not bad. But it's great, because it's like, you want to go into the city for an evening?
Yeah.
And that's just a thing you can do. It's not like it's not like it has to be a big outing, so, and it's nice. And the other thing is, I like not being able to see any of my neighbors, because we have trees. And, like, I come out to the west here, and there's just so much open space, and you can see so far, and I'm like, I don't want to see all that. That's too much for my eyeballs.
I can see my neighbors when they're out of their yard, because the fence has holes in it. It is disturbing a little bit.
Yeah.
Why are you, like, looking through holes in your fence at your neighbors?
Because he's a looker.
Like,
he's a looker.
We did cover that. Also, they have small children that, like, they go up on their swing set and look over my fence and say, "Hey, Jeremy, are you back there? Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Katie, Jeremy, what are you guys doing?" That's like, guys... I'm grilling my dinner.
I'm so glad I asked, because that was fascinating.
I hate you, by the way.
It was your fault, Nathan. You should know better.
Start that. I blame you.
I blame me, too.
But yeah, you should.
I blame whoever said you could be on the podcast in the first place.
I don't know, Andy.
We invited
his wife.
You invited my wife, and I came.
Who would be here? But she is visiting her family,
and she texted me. She just put on pants, so you know.
For all our listeners, are like, there you go. That's important information.
We have listeners,
who told you this is good quality.
We have listeners who listen.
Like
just
I said, I have no frame of reference. I've done maybe one of these before. So
all right, we're the best.
Learning experience for me.
I'm going to throw out something completely irrelevant, but I had Tim/Con as a thing that we're going to talk about, and I scribbled off the Tim, and part of it went over, and it slashed the slash to make it an X, and now it looks like X-com. It says XCOM.
Oh,
and
X-com.
I got super excited because I accidentally wrote XCOM.
I must
on
go home
box.
And play. Computer games. Though. You guys left the podcast.
I haven't played Bureau yet because it came out on Tuesday,
yep.
And I was like, you know, I got work Wednesday and Thursday, and then I fly out here Friday. I was like, you don't want to dive into a single player game when you have to then be away for 5 days,
yeah.
or 4 days,
yeah.
Because you're like you just start to get into it, but not so much that you're going to remember all the controls and everything.
Not a chance.
Like the worst thing is getting like you know X amount into a game, and then you go away for a bit, and you come back. And you're past the tutorial. We're easing you into the game stage, but you don't remember.
The number of
flashing back to Dragon's Dogma right now.
The number of save files I've had to delete to start a game over because I have no clue what's going on when I pick it up. You're right.
Chapter one of Witcher 2, and I started playing Chapter 2 of Witcher 2 8 months later, like 3 days ago. And I'm like,
oh, you're lost. Yeah, oh, you're just screwed.
I'm starting this game over.
You have to. Like,
I walk forward and die like a peasant.
Because at that point, the game's like, this person has to know what he's doing. So we're not going to, you know.
Yeah. Training wheels are off.
Yeah.
3 days before a big convention later this year, the XCOM expansion comes out. When XCOM came out, I played like 8 million hours, so I'm very sad that there's like 3 days. So I know I have to wait that. Like,
oh, yeah. When I played XCOM, I stayed up till 2 a.m., and then the next until 3 a.m., and the next until 4 a.m., and then I skipped work and played all day, and then I stayed up till 5 a.m., and then my wife made me stop.
Would you play the original XCOM on?
Not the original, though. Iron Man Classic.
Me too, yeah.
It was hardcore.
That was worth it, though.
Yeah,
it
was amazing.
And you know what? I kept... all of my squad until the end, and then like you're at that final, I guess, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You're at that final room with that one guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then he picks off my sniper, and I'm like,
oh, you're fucked.
I'm freaking out, but I'm like, I just gotta keep going if I can just beat this guy. And then, of course, like the one person that the one guy that I got to be like my telekinetic was like the one I didn't want. I was like
the crappy guy.
He was like my douchebag guy that I didn't care about, and I was like, okay, so now this guy is going to save the universe.
I like to imagine all the other members of your crew were like that. They're like, seriously,
yeah,
Simmons
is
a psionic? What
I'm not connected to anybody else, and it's like, and then just this random schmuck comes in, and he's like, and then, but yeah, my guys just started dying, and I was like, this is it. I have to go for broke here. I have to beat this, because if I can get this guy, then it's over. I don't care that they died because I'm done. So
it's for a worthy
cause. It was
intense,
and it was very much worth playing on.
Well, I named all my characters as I went through, and like all of these guys, and Andy died horribly very quickly, and like everyone died, and then at the very end, the squad consisted of my wife, who was my psionic sniper who'd been around since the beginning, and my dog, and my sister-in-law's cat, and my parents' dead dog.
That's how many deaths you had.
That's
that you're
really
scraping.
I was down to animals.
Okay, but let me ask you, which game was it that you finally...
Oh, it was in the 60s.
Was it? Okay, because mine was in like the 30s. I think mine was game 35 was the one that I finally took all the way.
It was just... Oh man.
Because there were so many there, like that even Mission 1, it was like, all right, nope, start over.
I ended 15 games after Mission 1. Yeah. I was just like, nope. Well, three guys died on mission one. We're out.
Most of my missions ended. Sniper did his 99% shot. Missed that.
Oh, yeah.
1% mission ended. It's like everyone dies after that.
The game that I finally beat it on, what almost killed me, was a UFO mission. I walk into the UFO. I cleared everything. I walk into the UFO with my whole team, and the sniper's like, hey, guys, I'm coming. I'll be there. They walk in, and they get just jumped from three directions, and my entire team except the sniper dies. And the sniper's like, it's okay. I got this, and just finishes the mission himself. As they come out of the spaceship, he just shoots them all dead.
Tim's a true podcast member because his phone just went off.
Sorry about that.
Ours will, too.
Ours will go off.
We could turn the volume off. We don't.
I silenced mine because I'm a decent human being, but you guys don't understand that.
That's okay. You keep punching the table, though, so you're making up for it.
Yeah, that is true.
I felt like the worst part was like you, because you would keep playing these new games, right? And you'd get used to these enemies, and you'd develop these strategies. But then you got further than you ever got before that one time. Like, I remember, and I forget what they were called. They had the four legs.
The Sectapod.
Like, the Sectapod.
Oh,
that was it.
God.
And then, like, you know, and they would kill you, but then...
Yeah.
And then your guy would come back as the zombie, and I was like, What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, chrysalids.
Chrysalids.
Oh, the chrysalids. Oh, yeah. Those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I have been telling people about chrysalids for the last 20 years.
The first time you came across those, that was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, chrysalids on a terror mission. It's like, oh, okay, so all those civilians are going to be enemies soon. That's wonderful news. I'm happy about it.
Right, exactly.
The great thing in the original XCOM was there's an upgrade that you get flying suits. And it was
you
just
did that in the new one.
Yeah, but it's not quite as.
Is
nothing
more of a
feels
jump
better.
Suit, like
nothing
a...
feels better because the flying suits just stayed up and you just hover around. You literally would just stay up. It was like being on the second floor of a house for as long as you wanted.
Not
so
yet.
You'd go on missions with chrysalids and it'd be awful because they'd turn civilians to zombies and the zombies are chrysalids to turn you. And it's just this horrible
thing.
Right, and then you get flying suits and you just hover above them and just shoot them in their face and you just laugh and it was the greatest moment. It's when chrysalids were like they're jumping trying to grab you and you're like nope, blam blam. So therapeutic.
Now I didn't play any of the DLC that they put out for that. So
I haven't either.
So that's waiting for me as well, so I'm kind of excited because not only do I get the expansion that's coming out, but I get that little bit of DLC from
that's
the tail end
too.
Of the last one.
I heard most of the DLC was just like an extra mission sideline.
There was something with China. There was like a China mission.
Mission, okay.
And then there was a special guy you could get.
It's like a little plot arc of like three or four missions, or I don't know how many, but it's a little plot arc of some missions about this one guy. It's like separate from the main game, which most of the mixed you say mixed reviews is people saying it doesn't add to the main game. It's just like you're playing and then you're like, and then you're going to do these four missions, and then now you're back to the game.
Yeah,
so it's kind of disjointed.
It wasn't actually disjointed because I played it with the expansion,
I had no idea.
Yeah, you can wrap it in, but it was kind of the kind of thing. Like after you beat Iron Man Classic, it's like I'm not going through that again.
Just to experience that.
You know, it's like no.
Try to play it on whatever the hardest difficulty is.
Oh man!
And I even without Iron Man, I tried it five or six times. And I was like, "F that noise!"
Yeah,
no. You can never go above squad size 4. It's just like permanent squad size 4.
You don't need five people. You just be good, Jeremy.
No. Because I needed two snipers. I needed two snipers on my team.
You, late game, you don't have two snipers, you lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always
two snipers, a shotgun guy that's got more armor than God.
Right.
For them.
Yeah, I like the assault class a lot.
Squad side
assault, and then I always ran with two heavies, and then at least two support class. I had healers.
Like I like the support class. You have to have a medic. You do have to have one.
I liked
all of the other classes better than the medic. I just didn't. It wasn't my class.
No,
the sniper was by far my favorite.
My medic saved my life so many times.
Well, again, because the support is it's a reactionary sort of thing. You have to have it in case you get into some you know.
Yeah.
But like the special covering fire, I'd much rather have the assault version.
Stupid berserker running up to me, I shoot it, and then I miss, and then another guy misses. Like, oh crap,
that's bad.
The berserker's gonna eat someone.
Yep.
Good times. I like how I like this is a topic because Nathan wrote something down wrong.
I really do blame you for Nathan.
That's fine.
Oh look, I just did the scribble and now it says politics and Obama. What? No.
Someone stop it.
Right,
do we want to talk about GeekCon a little bit since we're sitting at GeekCon's building?
Everybody can know the thing that'll be over by the time this goes up.
Yeah,
we can talk about it.
But
yeah.
So what have you been doing? You're kind of a guest here. They got you in for.
I am. Yeah, they brought me out, which is really cool. I've never been to Wisconsin before, so I always, I don't do nearly as many conventions as I used to, and then even then, the ones I do are on the East Coast where I live, and I end up doing a lot of the same ones. So anytime I get invited to one that's like somewhere I've never been before, I try to jump at that because. You know, because I get to, I mean, it's neat for me to go somewhere I've never been before, but it's also cool because I get to be somewhere, like obviously all the readers in Wisconsin, chances that they're going to truck out to, New York or whatever.
Yeah,
true.
So yeah, pretty much, I flew in Friday morning and then I had a couple panels. I had a panel Friday night that went over really well. I had a panel yesterday. I have a panel a little later today. Actually, I have a panel a little later today with the one of the guys that writes the Star Wars comic books and the books he has a new book coming out on Tuesday.
What's his name?
John something. Okay. I was trying to avoid that part.
I was trying to avoid pointing
out that I can't remember his last name.
I couldn't help it
because I've been sitting next to him all weekend,
Google
and he's such
a
nice guy.
You got to give him a minute. Someone else talks. He Googles the name, and he's like, "John, what's your model?"
We'll edit it in post production. Tim will be talking with Tim Voice, and what's his name?
John Smithson.
Like right on there, and then continue on.
We don't edit shit.
Well, I know some of the. I read a few of the authors who write some of the Star Wars books, and I like a couple of them. So I wasn't sure. Troy Denny's like one.
Yeah, he's got his book coming out on
Ryan Reynolds was a guest here, and she didn't realize it wasn't that Ryan Reynolds.
Even I got duped by that. Because when they first invited me to GeekCon, obviously I've never heard of GeekCon, so I was like, so I looked it up and I was like, well, what kind of convention is it? What's, you know, what's the deal? And I saw Ryan Reynolds on the guest list, and I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to that. And then like later on, I looked at the bio and I was like, wait a minute, I don't think he did any of this.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds was a female voice in an anime series. What? Yeah. That guy's got range.
But this Ryan Reynolds is very nice as well. I was able to meet her, but not quite
the same.
No, it's not the same because I looked at that and I was like that is the caliber of guests that they get. Yeah. Like, well, yeah. Absolutely, I'm coming to this. but it's been a really cool convention so far. You know what? I'll tell you what. I've been incredibly impressed by the level of cosplay at this convention.
Yeah, there's a
high percentage.
There has been. I mean, I've been to much larger conventions with a lower grade of overall cosplay. Like there was a guy with a Dalek here yesterday, and I guess he comes like every year. He's like a thing. And then I walked by a couple of StarCraft Space Marines in the full, full armor.
Yeah,
I
saw them yesterday. Yeah. It was amazing.
And there was obviously a crowd around them. Like, they had just clogged the hallway because that walks by. Everybody has to stop and look and take pictures. And that's pretty wild. I mean,
yeah. When I have friends tell me what GeekCon, it's always a costume the effort people put in. That's like the big thing here is just getting.
It
that
seems
going.
That way.
It's a small
it's
convention. I think the percentage of people with that much passion is higher. Like the bigger. Yeah. Conventions, you get a lot more, like, nothing against it, not saying it's a bad thing, but like at a Gen Con, you get a lot of people just, I'll just go to Gen Con, whatever, and they go there and just go in a t-shirt and jeans. But something like this, for some reason, just the people go there specifically to cosplay.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting that. And I guess also, there's like three or four conventions in the vicinity, right? I mean, there's, from what I hear.
Not all at the same time, but you mean...
No, of course not all at the same time.
Yeah,
but over the course of a year.
Yeah, the Madison's really getting bigger and bigger into the kind of the geek...
The geek thing.
Well, there's GameWorldCon, which is big. There is TelsaCon, which is a steampunk themed.
Okay,
TelsaCon.
So I bet that promotes it too. Then because they make this costume.
TelsaCon, everyone as well.
Yeah, so they make the costume knowing that they can wear it a few times.
Yeah.
It's not just like this one weekend.
Yeah,
that's true. I have a friend who's in the 501st Legion. First, does all the they're making steampunk.
Stormtrooper
outfits for TelsaCon.
That's cool. The sexiest thing I've ever heard of. That's
He's making neat. A Boba Fett.
I'll be in my bunk.
Did you ever see the custom action figures that some guy did with the steampunk Star Wars?
The painted up ones. I think I've seen that. Yeah,
he reimagined like all the Star Wars characters as like steampunk era and made like these custom.
How did I not know that? Well, I know he's building an AT-AT in his backyard. That's
amazing.
Well,
he was going to build a life size TIE fighter, and then they got drunk and decided they're going to
make it an AT-AT.
They're
going
to see how far they can get into full size AT-AT. And I'm like,
is it just going to be a foot?
No, it's going to have a foot on the side of his house. Like one of its feet is going to be up on his roof.
I'm like, at some point the neighbors are going to complain. When they realize. Like at first I'll think, what is this guy doing? And then they're like, okay, we got to call somebody.
The glorious
what kind of
about
permit
that?
Do you get for that? I'm wondering, like,
I don't know. That's
like, how do you go down to the town hall and explain that this
is what you
need?
He's probably going to tell them it's a sunroom.
Well, it's an attachment to the sunroom. The foot's going to be in the house in the sunroom.
If it's actually, like, usable... Like, if you can climb into the foot and, like, it's like a clubhouse up inside the torso of the AT-AT.
If I knew anyone else that said they were going to do that, I would go, yeah, sure, whatever.
With
full.
With
full will.
Well, actually,
yeah, make it happen.
So if I could see in the news, there's an AT-AT walking around Milwaukee. I'm like,
I know that guy.
I just want pictures of it after it falls down, after, like, a tornado or something.
Storm, yeah,
just a shot of, like, an AT-AT, like, leveling a house.
It'll
I think that would be neat.
It'll be a neighborhood.
Or after the first kid, like, comes by with a cable and ties up the legs.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll be in the news, and Fool will be in jail. But yeah, no, that'll be amazing. Oh my goodness!
Oh, by the way, Andy, Fool asked for your phone number like 5 days ago. Did he trick?
No,
sorry, Fool.
Now, when you say Fool, you're not talking about like Fool from like.
No, his name is Gary. He's from Milwaukee.
Gary
okay,
Larson.
Because there's also like the Fool's Trays. Fool.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, it is Fool.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well,
he lives an hour from here.
Milwaukee.
Everyone has his trays.
I do have one of his trays.
Yeah, Fool Trays. Yeah.
Which is why we're talking about a guy who's actually going to build this stuff. I mean, that's the thing. He's got the machinery and everything.
Yeah, right. He's got the know-how.
He's also got the drunk how.
Yes, he does. Andy, how many drinks did you have at Gen Con?
I had about eight blind Russians.
Yeah,
blind Russians.
Four of those that do not know what a blind Russian is.
Somebody drinks a white Russian and says, this isn't alcoholic enough.
Yeah. So instead of like the half and half or milk that they put in there, you put in Bailey's.
Oh, yeah?
So it's Bailey's mixed with Kahlua, mixed with vodka.
Well, then.
That is awesome. The best part about it is the first two drinks I had, so I had eight of them. And you think of normal, you know,
yes,
little mixer
folks,
glass.
He does have a problem.
But it was, they gave me in 12-ounce glasses.
Oh.
The first two. So that was like a good, you know, at least four or six.
Well, you're so, talking enough, you just keep buying. So they,
yeah.
They figured, you know,
man, it's like chocolate milk. It's just so good.
Drinks, that's why, like, girl drinks. Like, you give me margaritas. Like, you can't feel them. Like, you drink a scotch, you're like, whoa, this is alcohol. And you, yeah, like, kind of. But when you're just sucking down Mai Tais or something, it's like you're drinking Kool-Aid.
Right,
and then
exactly.
10 later, it's, your pants are on your head and you don't know what
happened.
It's
very deceptive. It's very deceptive. Yeah. Yeah.
Or a hurricane. Oh, man, hurricanes will fuck you up.
Oh, my God.
Hurricanes are fantastic.
So now, did you, I just have a quick question. Did you get your hands on High Command?
I did.
Yes.
I did.
Play and
yes.
Yeah.
Good. Pretty
really
good.
Good.
Pretty
yeah.
good. I'm pretty excited about it because I love like Dominion and like I love those deck building games.
I brought it with
of that,
it's a very neat hybrid game. It has all the deck building elements, but then you're kind of going in the middle. Have you ever played
Smash Up?
Smash Up or
the mechanic in the middle.
Even
like
Blood Bowl Team Manager, where you're fighting in the middle,
yep,
with some of your cards.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
You have your building. Unlike Dominion, you're only buying your cards that's for your faction. Like everyone has
right,
their own
mini deck. Right. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I got
and
that.
And then you're throwing cards in the middle to fighting over land. So then your cards. You know, you're doing the deck building part, but then, like by turn three on, you're instead of just buying cards, now you're using the cards you bought to fight for land, or you're trying to still buy
right.
more cards.
So and I like that.
So it's a mix. Yeah, I got it.
I like
I
the deck building games that have an end game mechanic that isn't just enough cards have been bought. Let's stop now, which is why I love Puzzle Strike so
well,
much.
Well, and it's a turn. The limit is turns. That's the only limit that ends.
Yeah, okay.
Is there's a deck of cards that are random events that happen for the turn, and you get far enough down into the end phase, and one of the end phase cards is game's over.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it has two end conditions.
Well, technically.
Actually, one is if you get all the land.
If you capture all the lands, which I've never even seen like a quarter of them get taken.
And then if you as you conquer lands, if you win, those cards are removed from the game. So you if you overcommit, you can really screw yourself.
Right. I gotcha.
So you're
balancing
all these elements.
Yeah,
and so that's how it was. That's how generally what next week or
this Thursday?
No, I think next week. It comes out. The actual.
I thought it was out this Wednesday.
It wasn't in the stores.
Yeah.
Well, no, this Wednesday coming up.
This coming Wednesday, yeah.
Into the future, as Keith would say.
Well, what we could do.
Then there'll be a Hordes when it comes out.
I got the Hordes.
October.
Right, yeah.
That
I saw that.
And we got both. Junkai had both.
Legion is, Legion's baller in the Hordes one.
I can go and get High Command.
Legion's bullshit, period. I'm sorry. There are certain factions.
I play Rhett and Legion, so I play broken shit and terrible shit.
I was about to say, that's a pretty far end of the spectrum. No, because I ended up with Protectorate and Trollbloods, and they're very similar in terms of like
style.
Synergy.
Yeah.
Like the synergy, and like this shit doesn't work without this, and you know, like I mean, I play I play trolls, and I struggle below 35 points. At 35 points, like it's like okay, you can just start taking enough of the stuff.
A little bit.
At 50 points, you're like okay, I'm comfortable here as far as all the stuff that I need.
Yeah.
But as far as we have a journeyman coming up. In September, like a slow grow, whatever. And I was like, I don't want to play. I mean, even though the alternate battle box for Trollbloods is far, far better than the original battle box now. So I would almost be enticed to use that.
Oh, it has a mauler in it?
I assume it has a heavy of some kind.
It has
they gave him a heavy. Yeah.
It's P. Doomy, right? And Storm Troll and a mauler.
This is the mauler? Okay. I knew it was a heavy.
Okay.
They're not going to give him the Earthborn.
No.
So it was probably, it was the Storm Troll, the Mauler, and then there was like another, I forget what it is.
I don't know what the third light, the third jacket, the beast is.
I would imagine it has to be a light.
I know they revived them, but I haven't really given them.
I haven't paid attention to the neutral
but even
one.
Even though that's a much more enticing and at that point level, just the whole thought of like getting to 25 points and having to figure out.
Yeah, playing trolls at 25 points.
Along the lines of Legion being BS, one of my favorite moments when they were doing the field test for the Mark II changeover was some guy posted a thread and he was complaining because he was so angry because like his Angelius was engaged by like five Bastions and he flew over them to go assassinate the caster and he died to the free strikes. And he was like, that's just bullshit. That's ridiculous.
So play Saren.
In Mark 1, Flight was immune to free strikes.
Oh.
So Legion players, not only did they have Eyeless Sight,
Mark 1 had
all the flying beasts. So he was just like, just fly over and win. You just win. And it was like, oh
my
God.
Every flying beast had Saren's feet all game.
Yeah. Flight was immune to free
strikes. Mark 1 had a lot of cheese.
And so that's the thing is like, he posted this thread and I was just happy that the entire forum's just dogpiled on it with the basic thing of, oh, boo-hoo, play the same game as the rest of us, maybe? free up your beast, like, work around it, use tactics, don't just, oh, their caster's within 20 inches of one of my beasts, I ignore everything ever, I win.
I might have gotten irritated if I played Mark 1, I'll be honest.
It's fun to reminisce about some of the ridiculous stuff that, like, I mean, the number of times that I had a Dracoon thrown at me in Mark 1, right?
Yeah.
I've heard about that.
Yeah. The flying Dracoon.
I'll think of things like disabled jacks. And like if you charge and hit rough terrain with a sliver of your base, you stop instantly and your charge fails. Like, I think of Mark 1. Yeah, if you ever touch rough terrain during a charge, your charge fails. You could not charge through rough terrain.
Jacks, because jacks were minus where they were worthless.
Jacks were worthless. You didn't get jack points, so there's no reason to take them.
Right.
Even if you did, they had -2 to all power attacks. If they lost 3 systems, they were disabled, which was functioning the same as being
a
wreck marker.
That was really bad, Mark 1.
It's so, like there's all the overtop cheesy stuff, like shooting 50 times in their deployment zone top of turn 1. And things like that. But on the flip side, I just remember things like that and I go, oh my God, how did I play this
game? As a Crix player, I don't have any problem with Mark 1.
Yeah. What the hell?
I don't like playing against Crix because I feel like to play against Crix, you have to bring an army that is designed to play against Crix. You know, like that's the only way. That's the only way it's a challenge.
Or lose. That is your other option.
You could always just roll over. But, you know, because you have to make sure you have the magical weapons. You have to make sure, like, heaven forbid, like the first time. And it scarred me for life. The first time I played against Terminus, and I had no idea what he did.
I showed a new player Terminus the other day.
He had no idea. That's just a noob. It's like two rounds of like armor 35. It's like I guess we're just done here.
Terminus feated against a 10-year-old boy, and Vilethrawl purged on like 12 infantry models. Poor Malachi.
Brian's a bad person.
He asked for the game. I'm
and
sure.
even you know
local
the Crix.
Yeah, right.
Even the Crix battle box. Like if you're playing a journeyman
it's what,
or something.
Denegra is very good. That's so unbalanced.
It's okay. Kalissa is totally, you know, equally powerful as P. Denny.
Yeah.
Nobody's as powerful as P. Denny. So in the battle boxes at least.
She's one of
the best casters there is. So of course even amongst the battle boxes she's gonna be up there.
Well, Picaros is one of the battle boxes. It's just that his shtick isn't as good in that format.
Right, because he feats and you fall down and then you don't get shot by 100 things.
Yeah, because you don't have Zealots.
You don't have 100 things.
What's called the 3-shot light.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, in battle box games, Negger's like Crippling Grasp one of your heavies. Have fun with that.
Yeah. So that heavy's out of the game. Now let's play this other game.
I mean, but let's be honest, the battle boxes are never gonna be
perfectly balanced, which is
why I mean I always suggest, you know, to our LGS, I was like, you know, let's house rule this, and instead of battle box, make a 15-point
army.
You know, I feel like that having at least a little bit of flexibility
let
there.
Field an Arcanist.
Well, that's why when I do demos at conventions and something, like people they'll play the demo, get excited, and they're like, or like at Adepticon, they gave out free battle boxes they have for the last several years,
right?
And so you have people playing battle box games, and I'll just warn them. I'll be like, just heads up, new player. Yeah. You playing your Kador against that Crix one. You're just heads up. The game doesn't suck this bad.
Yeah,
like the game actually is enjoyable.
Well, right.
When I did I got my first demo from the battle box. Now I was not impressed, but then I went and I played with a couple infantry units. I was like, wow, this is actually great. Once you had the mix of different models and you actually had a few points on the table, it really
even the Legion battle box. I played a slow girly when I started Legion, and playing below 25 points is just not really the same game.
No.
Yeah.
No, for some factions can do it, but a lot of some factions can't.
There's no balance.
There's a couple of people at this table that might know. My first battle box experience was with Blackheart Sorsha.
The original
Sorsha.
Before the 17 nerfs.
Yeah, before all the nerfs. Wow. So I got to play her. I was like, I looked at my card. I'm like, so I could just cast Windrush, and I can cast Windrush, and then I could pop my feet and charge?
Yeah.
He's like, yep. Oh. I'll do that.
The people, you know, all the Gatsby 2 people complaining about nerfs. Sorsha still has the record for most nerfs.
And that was actually against Jim.
Yeah,
who did not play it for like the next year. He didn't even look at War Machine for the next year.
A lot
year,
of us came
because
from
of
Warhammer
that.
Fantasy. We were playing Warhammer Fantasy for 10 years, and eventually every year that game just made us angry for some other reason.
Oh yeah,
eventually
we
just headed up.
It's
like, you know what? I have $5,000 in this game invested, but if I play it again, I'm going to stab myself in the eye. So I'm
right. My eye is worth more than $5,000. Let me move on. Yeah.
Especially if you can get 4,000 of that back on eBay or Bartertown.
Yeah.
The big thing, like, people are like, what fantasy battle, you know, what should I do with my Warhammer fantasy stuff? And it's like, you put it on Bartertown and trade it for War Machine models.
Yeah.
And you'll be very happy.
And it makes me sad, because I love the idea of units fighting units and these big blockades, but they just
A huge commitment. You have to, if you're going to play one of the Warhammer games, I mean, you're talking about massive amounts of commitment. Yeah. And you can't go in with, you know, whatever the $30 bucks that you can get into War Machine with.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
I mean, at least, you know, and again, sorry to interrupt, but because it's so established, because and so all like the Warhammer players, they're like, let's play 4,000 points or whatever the their fucking system is. So so it's not like you can get into, like, it's not like you can just get in minor, because everybody's looking to play. Everybody's collected these massive armies, and that's what they're looking to play. So,
and plus expanding forward as well. Like, one of my favorite things that I always tell new players with War Machine is that if you have a 50-point army, like, you build up and you spend your money, now you got your 50-point army, and then you spend $10 to get a new caster, you
it's
have
a whole new game.
Different, yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole new army for you.
Also, when the new books come out, you don't have to replace all your models because they nerfed everything you bought and made all the stuff you didn't buy good.
Yeah.
Or models, that unit you liked doesn't exist anymore.
At least for a while. I mean, we should be a ways away from Mark III.
Yeah, I think so too.
I half expect to see like a Mark 2.5 in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I would love. What I've brought up in the past is like the game mechanics don't need to be changed, so we don't need a Mark 3.
No,
but I've seen it's like if they sold like a deck, like a new deck of cards, and just did a dozen nerfs and a dozen buffs, just take like the 12 best things and 12 worst things and expanded, fixed them.
I mean, without a doubt, the Mountain King needs
a little bit of love.
He's a gorgeous model, and I very much enjoy painting him.
If you don't one-round him and he heals all the way back up, it's very awesome and demoralizing for your opponent. Unfortunately, they're
usually
going
to one-round. Really unfortunate.
And of course, he is Matt 5, so he's not going to do anything.
So he won't do anything, but it will be demoralizing.
You amok, and then you thresher. Sweep, rather. Yeah.
His Unbound rules, actually, if they were his core rules, would be awesome.
I agree. I agree with that. And I also, when the latest Hordes book was coming out and the Night Troll was still in the whole, like...
What is it doing?
Yeah, things were just getting spoiled, and or rather, I remember when they showed the model in progress, and he had all those spines and whatever,
spiny growth.
People thought spiny growth.
Oh my god!
And that was it. That would have solved everything with the Mountain King. Is if
would
he
have
had
also broken trolls.
Probably a little bit.
Spiny growth is really good in Legion. No one else.
But if he had, spiny growth, or even just a plus two armor,
needs that too. Yeah. No.
You already stole Rush from trolls. You don't need to steal other people's animus anymore.
Well, they stole
Puppet Strings, too.
Oh, Puppet Strings, yeah.
And Far Cry.
Far Cry. You steal everything from trolls.
Scoring to steal is everyone else's tech.
I love, because I was a troll player at the time, they took Rush... They gave it to Scorn, and then they're like, it's too good for Scorn, so they nerfed it. So Trolls just had one of their key animi just nerfed as a side effect of it being stolen.
What did it used to do?
You used to be able to put it on anything. Now it's Beast only. So you could throw it on, like, your champion hero, and he'd rush up there with those extra 2 inches and thresh her around and be awesome at everything. Nope.
Nope.
More Beast only now, because it would have been too good on Ancestral Guardians, I guess. Whatever. But it's like, steal it, give it to Scorn, nerf it. No.
Yeah, I think trolls could definitely use a little bit of help in the next book.
Right after Red.
You know, I love playing them because, you know, first and foremost, I think I play for aesthetics, and I love the look of trolls. I can't, you know, they are my absolute favorite, Hordes faction. Actually, you know, when I got into War Machine, I'd never played a game when I first bought all my War Machine, I bought stuff to paint.
Nice.
Because I was like, I love the models. I want to paint this stuff. And then it just so happened that he's now my brother-in-law, my future, you know, at the time he's my future brother-in-law, and he had just started dating my wife's sister, and we were out to dinner and we were just talking we just started talking about random stuff, and it turned out he played War Machine.
Nice.
And I was like, that's the stuff that I just bought to paint. And then it was like just the serendipity of, as far as like, well, I'm already, you know, I love the stuff and I love to paint it, you know, now I can use it to actually play a game.
Awesome.
And then so I got into, and so he taught me how to play, and
that's awesome.
You know, I got into, but I mean, it's, you know, so, but I will always, I think I will always play a faction that I love the look of.
Well, I think that's important.
I think it is, too. I think because it gets you excited about.
Well,
because
you want to enjoy the game.
You want to enjoy the game. Yeah, I've never been particularly concerned with, like, winning all the time. Like, I will, and the other thing is that I will happily play an underdog if, like, you know, and here's the other thing is I play, Protectorate was my first War Machine faction.
If you're about to call them an underdog.
No. But since they put out the two-player battle box with Protectorate and Kador, which is a fantastic idea because it gets a lot of new people into the game very easily.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's an explosion of Protectorate and Kador players. So there have been times I've gone to the LGS and there's like four Protector versus Protectorate games going on. And that's not what I want to do. I don't want to play the faction that everybody else is playing. So, you know, I enjoy playing the underdog, maybe not, you know, the strategic underdog, but the
the less
popularity
basketball.
Underdog. Yeah.
There was a tournament here in town shortly after Mark II started where there were like 20 people and a dozen of them were playing Cricks. And right. so that's when I sold my – I just sold all my Cricks and switched to Mercs. Yeah. I was like, all right, too many Cricks players, done.
But I'm just – at this point, why haven't they put out a Signar Cricks two-player battle box and balanced this out?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
they –
almost all – we've got a ton of new players who started playing, and they're all playing Kador. Yeah. There's so many Kador players right now.
Well, it's Wisconsin. I think the big, fat, bearded, drinking people aesthetic out here.
It could be.
Yeah, I think – but I think they need to balance it out a little bit because things are getting a little skewed, at least in – and it all comes down to the local meta.
That, but we do have a lot of Kador men off lately.
A couple Gen Cons ago, I forget who I was talking to, but we were talking with some of the Privateer Press staff, and they said that at that time, Signar was still the most purchased faction.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody sees that in their local meta.
I mean, not everybody sees.
Yeah, we don't have.
It's always hilarious to me when like people on the internet talk about, oh well, you know, there's no Cricks in my area, so I don't have a lot of experience. So there's no. It's like how it's weird how certain metas are just different like that. Like we don't really have any Signar here in Madison.
We really don't.
We have a couple people that play Signar sometimes as their alternate faction, and those people are fairly casual as well. Like, Lewis is our big Signar player? Really? You know, that doesn't teach us how to play against
Healy. Jeff is about the only person who wants someone to go
Seer. But he's been big on Circle.
He's big on Circle. And even then, when he played, he'd be putting down, like, Kara Sloan or something. I've never played against Healy Double Stormwall in my life.
Yeah.
Ever.
Because Jordan bought it. Just...
Oh yeah,
that
I did.
List.
Yeah, Jordan.
But you guys not? We had a player who he wanted to get Signar. He wanted to play the best Signar, so he got into the double Stormwall.
He got
double Stormwall,
and then
he got
his butt kicked. People that they knocked it right.
Yeah,
out
we
of
have
him.
We have sort of my great. Local game store that I go to. It's called Clockwork, and then you know, a couple towns away, there's another. I want to say it's called Flagship. And they have a club called like the Dark Omen. And
oh,
then,
yeah. They
you
were
know
at,
the Dark Omen guys?
Yeah. Well, I saw one of them. They were at Gen Con.
Yeah. And then, so then, like, we have ours and they have theirs. And our group is very sort of laid back, casual. Let's just play the game, shoot the shit, talk fun. The Dark Omen guys, they're more typically geared around, like, power gaming and, like, and like the min-maxing and the win and the tournaments and everything. So they have a lot of guys that do that. Like, if that's the – what's the flavor of the week, you know, let's get on board with that. And then we just have our group. And actually, you know what? A lot of them recently have been coming down to our group because they're getting tired of that whole, like, you know, play to win. That's the only acceptable thing. And they just kind of want to come and have fun with the game again.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that stance within itself. Like, you know, as long as...
No, of course not. Because obviously...
The beauty of this game is that it is balanced. Like, another thing, talk about, like, why... like, the Warhammer games and everything, they aren't tournament games. There's not balanced fair rules and everything like that. So that is a beautiful thing about War Machine, is that this game is balanced enough that you can play...
Yeah, without Steamroller.
...as a competitive game. But you also can just play goofy, fun games for casual. And as long as both people know which they're feeling during that game, that's what's important.
I think it comes – and again, I think it just comes down to the personal – like, I mean, again, my personal preference when I – like, I love to just try shit. Like, I want to play the units that I never – that don't see a lot of play. Like, I mean, sure, I could field – you know, errants every single time, but that gets old. You know, I mean,
you want to see what Cinerators do.
Yeah, they're a fantastic unit, but I don't want to just play the errants every game. So, like, I'll play, you know, and I'll come up with like
convince our local players of that logic.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think it's more fun that way. I would rather lose with a fun army than win with the same, like, carefully
whatever
constructed army every single, like the OP army every single time.
Yeah,
I mean, I love playing my Rhett, but it is like when I go to a truly competitive meta, it is a little bit.
It's a little rough.
Like, I used to be, I am fighting the fact that I am very much, I want to win. Like, I have that in me.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting to win. That's why we play the game. That is the ultimate goal.
Right. But I have that dark side where it makes me, like, sometimes I get hyper competitive.
You threw a model across the room.
She deserved it. Yeah. She deserved
it. Ashlyn is a whore.
She deserved it. But, so, like, right now I pared down literally the only playable army I have right now is pigs. Not even all of minions. I only have all the pig stuff.
Right.
So, and that's kind of to beat myself into submission where I'm like, I'm playing this game to just have fun.
Yeah.
I'm putting down Sturm and Drang across from Gatsby 2. I ain't winning this game. You know, so I
but let's
that
see what kind of ridiculous shenanigans I can pull off in the course of the game. You know,
hey,
like,
you could have won the game that we videocasted.
Oh yeah, I could have. I screwed up.
You screwed up.
It was good. I was rusty. I forgot that there was a trick that entire list was built for that trick, and I didn't use the trick.
Use the trick.
We've been having fun doing that. We've been doing it for our podcast. We've been doing like video battle reports. It's weird to like watch
yourself.
We do post commentary.
Yeah, we record it and then we blank the sound and we watch it and do commentary. The two people that played and one other person.
It's great. Like, what was I thinking?
It's a good way to learn. You'll watch me be an idiot. Fantastic learning tool as well.
Yeah, it's a great way to analyze how you do things as well. And
obviously sports teams do it all the time. They look at footage of the other. Because it takes you out of the moment. In the moment, and especially because you're feeling like you don't want to take all day. You want to move the game along, and so sometimes you just make a decision.
Or like the game ends, and you look back, and you're like, I lost the game. I know I did something wrong. I was dumb.
I remember big example of like in the moment is one of the more recent ones. The Katie Jeff one is. She was playing Cro-Mac and he was playing, I think, Pete Kruger. And so he's pushing in and just trying to assassinate her and crushing Army down. And he fails at the assassination like two or three turns in a row. And then she counter-assassinates him and wins. And during the whole watching the video battle
report. Spoiler, people might not have watched it.
During the whole battle report, we're pointing out that about a foot and a half behind his army that was impotently being thrown against her were all the scenario control objectives. Like, he didn't even stop and go, oh, I can just win. Like, he's like, must kill.
He accidentally got three of the five control points.
Yeah, he accidentally got three of the five while going forward to kill her, but it never thought to him, like, wait, I can just win. Like, you know, in that moment, like you said.
Yeah. It reminds me of a little while back, and I think it was, I want to say it was the before the battle engines came out. There was a no quarter, and there was a battle report in it, and I forget who won, but anyway, the forums exploded with, like, you made such a huge mistake, and
he dropped occultation and got shot to death by the cricket.
And then they were like, you let him win to make the Rhett battle engine look better.
Look good.
You know, it's all just marketing, and it's like, come on, they're human beings. Yeah. Like they mistakes play just like made. We do. Yeah. They make mistakes. Come on.
Yeah. I've been at top. I mean, we go to a lot of conventions, so we go to. Yeah. We sometimes will watch like the top, you know, the finals of a Masters event, and it's amazing when you watch those players. They make just as many mistakes as anyone else. I mean, they're in the heat of the moment. They've played for 12 hours that day.
Yeah.
And it's just like almost all games are won by whoever makes the least amount of mistakes.
You watch the game, and that really just happened.
I've been guilty of that, like watching videos of, you know, the tournament stuff at Gen Con. And I'll be sitting there being that nitpicky guy, like, you know, he's fudging his movements, his measurements and whatever. You know, and then I have to take a step back and it's like, okay, you know, this is a stressful situation. He's been playing all day. He's probably not doing it on purpose. He's probably not being that guy who's trying to gain that extra inch. It's just, you know, he's trying to move quickly because it's whatever. It's like a hardcore time deal. Seth Clark.
Game has so many 1-inch movements. Like I have Dareth Wraith gives you the 1-inch movement for All Your Undead. And I always want to do it as fast as I can, not waste my time. Plus, I don't want to. And I always want to measure it, and I never want to, because it's an inch. It's always hard to measure the inch. So I don't want to, screw my opponent by over-measuring, but I don't want to screw myself by under-measuring. Yeah. So it's always...
And the other thing with like measuring, when you think about where you're standing and where the model is and where your tape measure is, like you're on a diagonal line. Like it's actually fair... Like when I stand over and it looks to me like my tape measure is lined up with the front edge of my model, it's actually probably 3 inches behind my model up in the air, you know what I mean, depending on how low you are. And so it's really deceptive. So those little finicky movements are just
to imagine, like, at some point, like 10 years from now, we're going to have some cheap like Microsoft Surface sort of thing where it's like the whole playing surface is a digital touchscreen, and so we can – and it'll help us with the measurements when we want to do all that stuff. And
I saw something –
you know,
something
and we,
like
oh, we
that.
Need to center an AoE, and that's like immediately does it on the tabletop.
They already have that for role-playing games. We're getting more and more of those virtual tabletop.
I saw it at Gen Con,
right.
Sweet.
So it's coming.
I saw something similar to that. It was at like a DJ booth, and what they actually had items that you would put on the table that would play like a certain tune, then they can go around it and adjust the volumes in that.
Yeah.
I thought that for War Machine would be amazing. You would have like a sensor on the bottom of your model, put it on the table, it would bring up a little grid.
Because
for
this hobby isn't expensive enough already.
but it would bring up a grid, you could mark down damage, you could just like tap the model and show.
But Andy, War Room does all of that for you.
War Room was not as bad as it was, I feel, recently. Like, it's at least a little bit more stable, but...
That is always a statement. War Room isn't as bad as it was. That's always...
That's pretty awful. I know that's pretty awful, but that's where it's at.
Yet, it is not yet where anyone should pay money
It's a fantastic card reference.
I use the card reference on that thing every single week.
Except even then.
Except
it's slow. You know what? The Butcher 3, his Argai don't cost 4 points each. War Room says they do.
I just, as someone who, you know, used iBodger for the length of it,
right?
I can't believe that it doesn't automatically do theme forces.
I still use
how
iBadger.
Is that? How is that not a thing?
That theme force is supposedly going to be in the next update, which is
whatever.
Very exciting. Okay. I know.
Lose my believing.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Well, I really wish that they would have just hired him on to do list verification.
Just sell it to them for a pittance. Yeah. They could have just incorporated it.
Yeah, but, you know, they had their deal with Tinker House. Yeah. I'm sure it was a thing. I mean, the big one to me is that War Room is fine as a card reference thing, and iBodger is great as a list building thing. There's no reason they couldn't both exist.
Right.
Yeah. I don't understand, like,
the
why.
The C&D was what really. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they had just admitted that War Room is just a card reference thing and does not do list building, which is their stance anyway. I mean, really, it doesn't do list building. You can put a list in there as a reference, but it doesn't, like, calculate your points. It doesn't do theme forces. What iBodger does, there's no reason for them both to not exist.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, it it's unfortunate because mistakes get made because of War Room. Like I you were at the tournament where I played a Butcher 2 player, and he was playing Butcher 2 Steam Force with a million Doom Reavers.
Sure.
And we played the whole game, and I got tabled. And
which, by the way, that's normal.
Yeah, that happens a lot. But then afterwards, I was sitting there, and I was talking to my buddy who also plays Butcher 2, and I was like, man, I just felt like his list had so much more than your list does. And he'd added the UAs to all the units.
Oh.
And played the same number of units as you can play because he did it in War Room. And War Room was like, I don't know, you have points off. Figure it out. And so he was playing like 5 points up. And so I got the win. I felt really bad. But I didn't do well in the tournament, so it didn't matter. But like, and he built the list, and he was trying to do the right thing. He had War Room. It was the tool that Privateer Press told him to use, and it lied.
Well, it's like I played against somebody that one time, and they just had an extra Vanquisher.
I don't think he was using War Room. I think that was just him.
It was a good 0 point jack.
It's pretty good when you get free Vanquisher.
Yeah, it was Fiona 2 with Adjudicator and a bunch of Zealots and a Vanquisher. Fiora 2 and a bunch of Zealots.
Fiona 2.
Oh, I'd be excited. Yeah. God, I love Fiona. But yeah, it just turns out Vanquisher is a good 0 point jack.
do you even know anybody that's ever used like the link thing for War Room?
No.
We even had two people who we have two locals that actually do use War Room.
But nobody ever
and
that.
They
that's
played
too much
attorney
of a hassle.
And they just
not,
did
it's
it.
Not
well,
clean
I sat
enough.
Down and asked them if they were going to turn it on, and they both said that no, they wanted to have battery life for more than 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I think of what. I like cards because if I'm looking over and I want to kind of see what I need to kill too, what Jack has as much, I can kind of glance over and that way I'm not like I'm not telegraphing what I'm going, but I say hey, can I see that Jack and that Jack when it's still their turn? Because I'm always plotting my next turn during their turn.
Yep.
But when I have to like ask them for specific model stat cards, it's kind of giving away what I'm like playing. So suddenly they block a certain model because I've asked to look at it. So
I don't like that either.
I like the idea of War Room. It works well on pads.
Right. Well, again, that's why I have most of the decks that I play against unlocked, so that I can secretly just say,
look at
like,
the cards.
You know, well, what has he got over there?
Yeah.
Oh,
flip side is you can use that the other way. You can just randomly be like, so what's how many boxes on that Vanquisher over there, and have no intention whatsoever of doing.
Honestly, that's what I do then. But I wasn't going to give that part. I'm kind of a dick.
You're ruining all of his tricks, Nathan.
Brian doesn't do that. Never mind, listeners. Lance edit that.
Lance edit that out. All right, so do we? We talked about War Machine
the
for
next
a long
topic
time,
was
really
board game / War Machine weekend / new model / whatever. I think that covered
board
whatever.
Games. That was whatever, and
that was,
whatever.
That was a good whatever.
Yeah, new models, good. Well,
as far as whatevers go,
because we've talked about that previously, but since it's the current hotness, what do you think about either the concept in general or the specific ones of those all the faction journeymen,
junior warcasters?
What do I think of it? Yeah. I think that was brilliant marketing on their part. As far as like, okay, here I think that the video game would have done well regardless if they had just come out and said, okay, it's a video game, you can play Striker and Krios and whatever, and it's a War Machine game. War Machine players would have been on board with that, but the fact that they created this hook that ties back fundamentally into the reason that we are all here in the first place was just brilliant, and that's why they ended up with a 1.5 million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
Kickstarter. So I think that
they
was
went even higher than that. It was
maybe it was one Mercs, but not Rat.
No, they did unlock.
They got Rat.
Maybe it was like 1.6, 1.7.
It was somewhere.
Brian.
So they unlocked all the factions then. Everything.
Yep.
Except for Ashland.
They did not get Ashland.
But that was it was a really intelligent way to tie the two worlds together, and to offer an alternate sculpt, because again, people, I mean, people like us that play these games.
We love that stuff.
An exclusive sculpt that we can have and nobody else. Like, I mean, I went in with
except
the
everyone else who Kickstarted.
Yeah, but then
or it goes on eBay.
Which right now, I mean, that's going to be a lot of people. But 5 years from now,
It
won't be quite as much. I mean, I went at War Chest. I don't play most of those factions, but I'm going to have them. And for A, maybe I start the faction one day, or B, maybe I eBay them.
Yeah, well, that's
years
what
down
I,
the road.
Or like Brian was like, he may even
I'm going to run a tournament and giving him to give them all away.
That's another good idea. Yeah. Or trading
prize
them
support.
For
yeah,
you know,
he's giving a butcher three away.
I'm giving away a butcher three at my next event. Amazingly, the sign up is pretty good.
Oh, you know, you posted that and like 50 people signed up in an hour.
Yeah.
It's a raffle. Yes.
Done.
So I think that was really clever on their part to kind of tie those two things together. However, here's the thing, raising 1.7 whatever it is $1 million does not like automatically make White Moon Dreams a better developer.
No.
Versus what they would have made with the bare minimum versus it's still those same people. So
yeah.
You know, they're going to end up making the same quality level of game. And White Moon Dreams is not a AAA developer by any stretch. No. And this has been they announced this like 4 years ago that they were going to do a video game.
Yeah.
And then there was that trailer for the Xbox Live Arcade title where it was like more of like a third person.
It was like Dynasty Warriors with War Machine. Yeah.
And so, it's great that they raised so much money. But as far as the video game itself, I think it looks good so far. But
I worry they're overcommitted.
It still remains to be seen whether or not.
I hope they don't do
turn-based, kind of like an XCOM style. That's really what kind of got me.
Oh, without a doubt, I think that was the best decision they could have made was to go tactics because I love tactic games and it's the closest thing to the, the core material. So then, but there's this there's this perception that like. Oh, it's a $1.7 million game, which raises the expectations of the quality of the game, which isn't realistic. It just means that they sold more,
Well, the problem is now they have to develop so much more, and so like they can spend that money hiring people that didn't work there before, but then they have to get up to speed.
I hope that they don't do a double fine. We're going to make this, kind of this game here.
I was Googling that as you're talking because I wanted to get the numbers down because I don't remember what it was.
You raised like a crazy amount of money for it.
That was the first Kickstarter game that went.
He asked for $400,000.
Yeah.
He raised $3 million.
Yep.
And then later he's like, hey guys, I used up all the money and the game's half done.
Because he said, oh, I have all this money. Let's make a bigger game.
Yeah, bigger.
And it got away from him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Instead of making a $400,000 game and then doing some of the extra money or doing a $3 million game, he's like, oh, crap. Well, I'm just going to make a $6 million game then.
Yeah. He designed way too much game. And now he's like, okay, well, I'm still going to, I'll just release the first half as a standalone thing. Everybody that Kickstarted gets it. Everybody that Kickstarted will get the second half eventually when it comes out, but I need another way to raise capital for that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's releasing half the game and using the money from that half to finish the second
half. I don't think that'll really happen with this. I mean, it's really, they're just kind of reskinning, re-putting in numbers in for all the troopers for this game.
If they crack XCOM's code and just put
XCOM with Jax.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Though, I hope they go. I mean, obviously, the big thing will be the multiplayer for Privateer. Like, the XCOM's multiplayer was okay. I'm being polite.
You were playing XCOM multiplayer.
Polite. It was okay.
Well, no one here bought that game. No one said, oh, I'm going to play XCOM multiplayer.
That's true.
It's not even your top 10 thoughts.
But you buy the War Machine game.
That is why I bought it.
You are thinking that I need to play this tactics game against my friends.
Adam Baldwin doing one of the voices for the campaign.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's a cool bonus. I mean, it wasn't a selling point.
No,
for me.
But it's pretty cool.
It's cool. Yeah, no, it's not bad.
What's your? You said you want War Chest. So what's your symbol you're going to put for your?
I don't know. Maybe obviously the obvious choice would be the Control Delete logo or something like that, or a giant dick. Or
I imagine there will be a few.
That's the thing. It's like there will be a lot of so maybe like just a giant vagina. Like
there you go.
So speaking of giant dicks, the EverQuest online game. There's a new EverQuest Next coming out.
I'm so psyched.
And the fact that the entire game is like Minecraft, where you can create it's Minecraft and an MMO.
It's all built.
So it's like how many minutes before you have like giant penis castles and everything in the world is completely.
Well, it's okay. Well, it's two parts because you have EverQuest Next. And then you have EverQuest Next Landmark. And Landmark is where you can – it's like you go out and you claim a plot of land and you can build whatever you want on it. And that's its own like separate little compartmentalized sure. sandbox. And then you have the MMO where the entire world is built with voxels, so it's all you can destroy.
It's all destructible.
It's all destructible. You can destroy it. Yeah. You know, like they're talking about like crafting. It's not going to be just like you find a node and you mine it. Like you actually have to dig in the ground to find ore and that kind of stuff. And sometimes you'll be digging and it opens up into a big cavern that nobody knew was there. And then of course it regenerates. Things regenerate at different rates over time.
Sure, sure.
It's going to be so much grief.
Because otherwise it would just be a, so much it would be a parking lot in the first couple weeks of the game.
Yeah. you log in a month later and it's just like just barren wasteland.
You log in and it's Wisconsin, basically.
No, with more giant dick castles.
Well, yeah. What's going to happen is like there's going to be a guild that's going to create Mount Penismore and keep it refreshed over time.
Yeah, that might happen.
Well,
like, as far
the House
as
of
if
the
they
Rock,
can...
So yeah, it is like Wisconsin.
Just like...
But
I miss Everclass. We were talking about talking to my friend Chris yesterday. But I played Everclass when it first came out.
Me too.
I mean,
1998, 1999.
That's when MMOs had like you were afraid to die. That's
exactly because you would lose that chunk. You would actually lose a level.
Well, I played a cleric, so people would call me from like 4 hours away. It's like, hey, I know I'm. Hey, can you come res me so I don't lose my 6 hours experience? I'm 4 hours from you, but I could appreciate the run over.
But we made good money.
Oh yeah,
we made good money.
Yes, I give you all my children. Please res me.
I started off playing Dark Age of Camelot, so it wasn't much later than that. I remember the way they had it in there. To counteract EverQuest's loss, when you lose everything when you die and you lose a ton of experience, Dark Age of Camelot had kind of similar thing. You kept all of your equipment, but you lost your body, but it left
a
gravestone where you were at. And you can go and pray at your own gravestone to give a partial of your experience back.
Yeah.
I remember the first dungeon in that game.
Oh.
There was an exit that goes... When you first come in, that's the entrance and the exit. But all there was, you couldn't see the floor because it was just filled with gravestones.
That was the other thing, was there were zones. Like, there were, remember the zone lines, and it was train to zone, and everybody would freak out.
Specter's the dock.
Yeah.
Everyone runs for their lives.
Right.
Because that game wasn't smart.
It made you think about what you were going to do because there was a penalty to death. I remember at one point, I had just hit level 50, and then we went down, and then my guild went down to attempt Negafen, the red dragon there, and I left at level 47 at the end of that disastrous run.
You could buy, like, your characters, like, when you came into the game, and you could go to your buying spots, like, when you relogged in, you'd have a certain spot, and wizards could buy in a spot anywhere in the world, so if you bond your spot, and it happened to be a spot where a hell giant spawned, and you didn't realize that, you'd log back in, and you literally see 50 corpses of a guy trying to run in every direction, just trying to escape the hell giant. You're like, that guy lost 12 levels right there.
Yeah.
There's 70 bodies just in a complete line, in every direction.
But then I also remember that, like, you wouldn't, like, there were times like you wouldn't leave Freeport unless somebody gave you Spirit of the Wolf. It was like, I'm not fucking going anywhere.
It was like
until
plus
someone
said movement.
A movement thing. So it was like, it's not even worth it. I'm just gonna sit here until someone, and I'm gonna sit here and shout until someone comes along.
Yeah.
And gives me this.
A druid would run by his castle because people would be bugging him too much.
Yeah.
Was that certain? Player versus player.
No, it was just for movement.
Just so you could escape from things.
It was just in general. And also because there was no, like, I mean, nowadays, like, World of Warcraft, you're like, I'm just going to get on this flight path and it's going to take me across the world. They didn't have that. It was either you have a druid or a wizard teleport you to one of these stones, and they made bank on that.
There's only like 6 points in the world where they could port to. So there'd be like taxi hubs where they would teleport you.
Right. And they made money from that because they would be like, they'd be going that way anyway. And they'd be like, I have 4 spaces, 10 gold a spot, if you want to head out. If you want to head out that way. And so, like, that was the only way to get around. And then there was, or you just walked. You ran. And so you had Spirit of the Wolf. And actually, my very first character was a barbarian warrior that I made. And so I was up like in the corner of the world in Halas. It was like snowy and it was so cool. And I didn't know anything about this game. So one of the first things I ended up doing when I was running around like exploring is I talked to the priest of Discord. And I didn't know what he did, but he turned you PK, which is like player killer.
Yeah.
And so in the way EverQuest worked was if you were flagged PK and it was a permanent decision – you couldn't group with anybody else. Nobody else could resurrect you. Nobody else could heal you unless they were also PK. So it was like I basically segregated myself from everybody else in the world because it was a PvE server. Nobody else went PK, and I just accidentally did it, and I didn't realize that that I was different.
Sure, sure.
Because I was brand new to the game. I had no frame of reference. So, like, I spent the first, whatever, 10 levels, no idea why nobody could heal me. Or I was just like, this is the way it is. And then, of course, you know, you want to go to anywhere else. So I made my first trip. I was like, I'm going to travel from – I was, like, near – Kranos, and I was going to go all the way across the world to Freeport, and you have to run, and obviously, like, you're low level, and if you die, you're all the way back to where you started.
It'd be quicker to walk from here to Chicago than travel the world by foot in EverQuest.
Yeah,
you got to a boat. You both just drove across the ocean. There wasn't like a you literally. There wasn't like, you know, online games where it goes boop, you're there. No, you're sitting on a boat. And if the game glitches, you fall in the ocean, you're swimming out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And if you're sharks, you're fucked.
Because nothing ever gave up on you. Like, nowadays, they have triggers where, like, if you run away from enemies for a certain time, they're like, fuck it, I'm done. But not in EverQuest. Yeah. You had to get to a zone line. That was the only way to shake whatever.
And some poor son of a bitch at the zone line just hanging out. As soon as you zone out, it goes on everything around you.
Yeah.
And then everyone just dies, and everyone scatters, and they follow someone else, and then it scatters and follows someone else, and it's just death.
It is a brutal game.
And getting texts from everybody.
There are lots of stories of people just, like, aggroing dozens of monsters and chasing them into areas.
It had day and night. When it turned night, certain zones, if you were, like, under level 50, you couldn't go in there at night. You just die. And there was a zone between the two most important places, so you're like, crawling along the edge of the zone, just praying to God.
Oh, yeah, hug the wall. You would hug the wall.
And the monsters all would fear you to the middle of the zone. You're like, oh, new character. I'm never finding this body.
Yeah. I kind of miss it in a way, like that kind of hardcore. Because now everything's so easy.
Some of the
and they're
games
like,
are so easy.
Well, that's why you know. That's why, again, tying back for the last 20 years, I've been telling people they should play XCOM, the original one. I was so happy when they released it, because that is that kind of XCOM. When the new one came out and I played it, and the tutorial mission is a party wipe, I'm like, well, that's XCOM.
Yeah, XCOM, Demon's Souls, Dark Souls. I like that these like tough games are coming back, and people are
even Dogma's Dragon.
Dragon's Dogma is pretty. I really enjoyed it. Like, Dragon's Dogma was one of those ones where I played it a bunch and then I stopped. And that game, it's like, if you don't know what you're doing and you're partway through the game, you are just straight.
That game
dead.
Was so rough, but I loved it. It was rough around
the
edges.
I was so sad when I beat it. I was like sad.
I picked up Dark Arisen. I picked up
Dark Arisen. I beat it all the way through, but the problem is I accidentally triggered the second playthrough.
Oh, yeah.
And in the second playthrough, you start with all your gear.
Yeah.
You start with you do start as like a level one class again, but you have all your gear, and none of the monsters level up.
Right.
So you equip anything.
Yeah, it's a new game plus.
You equip anything.
Yeah, I remember that when I played it
through
the first
shot every boss in the
game. I played that. Well, there were those shadow things for the, like, weren't there? I remember because
Arisen Island, and then you can actually have decent fights, but yeah.
Yeah.
Except you can't go there as level one.
But there were some really cool things. Like, I love that part towards the end of the game where there's just that pit.
Yeah.
And you just jump in and you're free falling and you're like trying to figure out, like, have I gotten to that ledge before? Can I reach that ledge? And like, you have no clue, because like, you're just like falling and you're spinning and it's like, I'm just going to go to this one and see.
Yeah, I'm just going
to
hope this.
And then you're like, what the fuck is that monster and why am I already dead?
Yeah, you'd walk into a room and there'd be just like, oh my God.
And then there was the one of those ledges you would land on. And it brought you to the room with that spectral dragon that everybody was fighting, pretty much. And it was kind of cool. So, like, you'd be in there for an hour, and you'd take off, like, 3% of its health.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that was weird. But you realize that everybody else is also fighting that dragon, and eventually they get it down. And then suddenly you just get this cool reward, and it's like, wow. That was an interesting mechanic, I thought. Like, just having this massive boss that everybody was kind of participating in fighting.
I wanted to beat the giant. There's the giant one-eyed monster in one of the.
Whoa! I don't want to hear about your giant one-eyed monster.
The beholder.
The beholder. Yeah. You called it a one-eyed monster.
But it's not a beholder. It had a different name because it was like it was the size of an entire room as opposed to
big
just,
beholder.
No, it had a name. But anyway, I fought the
beholder.
Creature. I couldn't even like make a dent in its health.
Yeah,
like I don't know what the deal was with that thing. But
the first time a cockatrice like said you're being turned to stone, like how cute. Then my guy turned to stone and shattered and died.
Yeah,
and
that's terrible.
Like, oh, man, literally turned to stone.
That happened.
That was not a status debuff.
There was also so much emergent gameplay.
Well, you walk under a waterfall with your lantern the first time and it goes out. You're like, whoa.
It goes out and you're like actually wet for a while. Yeah. There was a lot of like really cool detail that they put in, and then just funny things like the ponds. The ponds were hilarious because there were times. I mean, the number of times there was one time in specific that and of course I would link up with my friends and I would bring their ponds along and whatever. And one my friend Brian, and it was Brian Clevenger's. Not, I don't know if you're familiar with Brian Clevenger. He did 8-Bit Theater. He does Atomic Robo now. Yeah. It wasn't him, but his wife played on his account, and she had this pawn, and I always took this guy, and he was the stubbornest motherfucker ever, to the point where like we'd be fighting a griffin, and like the griffin would take off, and sure enough, he's the one
on its back.
He's the one like you know, way above the tree, still hanging on, and then I'd just be watching, and then he loses his grip, and it's
he's
like
just dead.
Boom.
Griffins are fantastic.
Pawns are like the sidekicks the game?
NBC area.
Yeah, okay. The magic using pawns are fucking retarded.
Yeah, there was basically like there was like this nether that you could go to and access pretty much because when you made the game, you make your character and you make your own pawn.
Okay.
And basically your pawn can be rented out by any other player.
Oh.
Online,
three pawns, yours and two others at any given time.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So it was kind of cool because, you know, you can. So it's like, okay, you have a fighter and you have a sorcerer, but what do you want? You want an archer. You go online, you hire
an archer. Okay.
Somebody's who made an archer pawn.
Yeah.
And they come with you. And then what was also really cool was that if you played with somebody else's pawn and went to a dungeon and you went through the dungeon or whatever, and then you log off. This person's pawn goes back to their world,
sure.
And then this person goes to that dungeon. The pawn was like, you know what? I know this place.
Hey, this is place where you want. We should check out.
Yeah, this is where you want to go. Watch out for the next room because the pawn collects that information and it brings it back to the player.
And they learn about different monsters, so you like be fighting. A
they
monster
learn
for the
weaknesses.
First time,
yeah,
and they're like, go for its eye, or you know, its tail is its weakness.
Or occasionally, you're fighting your pawn has meteor swarm spell, and you're fighting this thing. You're like, for God's sakes, cast meteor swarm. It's like no. Then 5 minutes later, there's a bunny that casts meteor swarm on the bunny. You're like, no, why do you use it on the goddamn dragon?
Yeah, the magic using pawn. Their AI was terrible.
But when they just had the caster spell, everything dies. So they're like, yeah, I'm not going to DM, you know.
Yeah, you're just like marking time until they bother to cast their spell.
Yeah.
And then you win.
But there was a lot of really cool stuff. And I love games like that. And Demons and Dark Souls is another one that does it, where you can't do everything on the one playthrough. It's possible, like, if you're not at the right place at the right time to talk to somebody, you can miss, like, a whole thing. And I think that adds a lot of great.
And there are places where you literally can't. You have to pick one of the things, and that's what you.
Yeah, like
you
the
can't
game
do all of them. Yep.
No, it's awesome.
So
so that introduced a purpose for like the new game plus mechanic, the second playthrough, things like that.
The only problem was like obviously you don't keep any of the old like crappy gear. You keep the Uber gear.
Yeah,
so
it's tough when you do a new game plus, but you don't level up.
You go back to like Chrono Trigger and everything like that. The new game plus is you always start over as an Uber god and everything still the level it is to start with.
Yeah, I wish they'd leveled up the monster. I wanted to play it through again, but when I found out the monsters weren't leveled up, I was like sad.
Yeah. At some point it catches up to you, but yeah, you get that little initial burst.
Yeah.
They should be doing a sequel.
Really?
Dragons. It has been mentioned. I mean, look, the game did well enough.
Yeah, it did well.
And it has been. Capcom has said, you know, look, yeah, we're going to do a sequel. So
I
mean, I'm fingers crossed for a next gen.
I would definitely play that.
I absolutely first day pre-order for me.
What?
Did we almost not? No, I almost realized that.
Don't tell me that we haven't been recording for the past like an hour. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Podcast. We've never done that yet, so we're due for.
Okay.
We've never actually made it.
We did one for like an audio recording. I think.
Yeah, the thing's been pipping everything.
Yeah,
like,
it's
I'm
been going
it.
Good.
But yeah, just Andy touched the USB cable and had a look of terror on his eyes because he thought it wasn't plugged in.
I've been hilarious.
Can I ask an actual control athlete question, or is that just...
Go for it.
All right, so I really miss, like, Lila and Lucas and Ethan. And I'm sure you get this a lot.
I understand.
Are we going to see, like... It's not that I don't like 1, 2, 3, and 4, but are we going to see them come back at some
point?
Oh,
absolutely.
Is there, like, a time frame?
Next Thursday.
No.
It's a prom.
Next Thursday, but soon. Okay, look, I totally understand where you're coming from. I miss them, too. I mean, I wrote these characters for 10 years.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The players right now... They're like the gaming, strictly commentary, two heads talking, about whatever the current issue is, and that's fine. But they're not designed to carry 100% of the comic, and they have to right now until I get Ethan Lucas back. So, they absolutely will come back. I really thought that they would be back by now. I'm just behind because my personal life has been in upheaval this year.
I've been there. I've had personal life of people.
So, but yeah, without a doubt, Ethan and Lucas are coming back. With a whole new,
thing. I might be the only one of us that's a huge. I love Control Athlete.
I appreciate that. I appreciate. Yeah, no problem. I appreciate that. Thank you.
But yeah,
it was one of the. I don't read I used to have a tab like on my bookmarks tab that had like 20 webcomics, and I read them every day.
Me too. And then I don't have that
one
anymore.
Yeah, I just stopped. Like there were a whole bunch. Like I just, every once in a while, I'll be like, "Oh crap!" and I'll pick one and I'll read the last year of its archives because that's how far behind I am.
That's what I do. I'll read one comic for a while, then. But it's kind of nice when you do that way because it's like you. I'll go on.
That's not a bad way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you do it on RSS feed, and then you know exactly where you left off. That's how I do it, at least, is I have like 20 or so.
You do. I should do a control-alt-delete marathon. The last one I did was last week I did a marathon of a whole bunch of questionable content, which the funny thing about that webcomic is it moves in real time. Like, it takes you about 4 seconds to read one of its comic strips, and about 4 seconds of those characters' lives happens in that. So going through a year and a half of questionable content archive is about a day in the plot. It's like, go faster.
Wow. No, I still read we've talked about how I have a job where I just sit and goof off at work a lot. But
that helps.
I don't have a cubicle job. I don't have a computer job.
Like, I have a white collar job. So like, I read Control Delete. I read Elguna Shive. I read Penny Arcade. I read.
I hope people keep calling Tim because he's got a funky.
That is a funky
ringtone.
Mine's not that.
What's
exciting?
Your number? I'm going to call.
Torg hasn't said anything yet, which is really weird to me.
I silenced Torg.
Oh, okay.
I could just start pushing the buttons and make him talk.
Make Torg talk. But yeah. So anyway, I love Control Delete.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's like I've always done that kind of balance of like, you know, I want to do gaming related stuff, but I want to tell stories, and so, you know, I'm desperate, I'm dying to get back to that because I do miss telling the stories, and I'm excited about that, you know. And then the whole reason I did the reboot was so that I could have a clear distinction between, like, so when you see the players, you know, it's not going to be part of any bigger thing. It's just, we're just talking about a video game and making a joke.
Players,
And then when you see Ethan and Lucas now, it'll be like, okay, we're in for a story. We're going to, this is going to further the plot.
That doesn't mean, I agree completely. I'm always amused when I read some webcomics. I love watching comics people because it's always like, whenever an artist changes something, there's always like, why are you changing anything?
People hate change. Like,
it's hilarious to me. Everyone
loves people's pain.
I love the rage.
It's something
how dare you?
I love change. A lot of people hate change, and of course, I've been doing this for nearly 11 years now. I have dealt with a lot, even things as like I changed the website design.
Oh my god, the world just ended. Oh yeah,
that button slightly to the left.
Yeah,
so, you're a sellout now. You're trying to make it all.
But of course, I know that they all adjust to it.
They do,
and then when the next change comes along,
then they bitch about that.
They're like, I loved it the way it was, even though I hated it when it happened. You know, so. You know, I mean, I approach change that way. It's like, okay, I know that I'm going to hear a lot about it, but I also know I've been doing this long enough to know that you will all just get over it.
Yeah,
I will say I did laugh out loud at the crossbow in the fridge episode you did recently.
Did you?
Well, my wife does that. With the CDs. Like, it's like, oh, I'm going to go.
I do that to my,
is a different game. I'm going to go look at this. Nope, that's something else entirely. God damn it, Kate.
I do that to myself sometimes because you're anxious. You want to play the game. You're just like, okay, I'll take this out. I'll just put that in this case. And then next time you put that in this case. And then suddenly, you know, my CDs are all like that.
That's
all
my wife's car. I want to listen. The CD I want to listen to, the case is there. The CD doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
And it's got two other CDs in the case.
My fiance and I, we lived with her daughter, and we moved, and her daughter moved in with her boyfriend, and we moved to a new place and everything, and I had to take, because they all have that habit, when we moved to the new place, I had to go through every single case I had and take the wrong CD / video game / DVD out, and I made two piles, a pile of cases and a pile of games, and then re-sort them back together, because literally 90% of stuff was in the wrong cases.
So I definitely laughed out loud at work when I read that one. That was
My living room is, I've got the most stuff in the living room in our basement, and when people play games on there, that was the same thing.
You want to watch Galaxy Quest, you go to the DVD player, you press eject, and Casablanca comes out. You don't put Casablanca in the Galaxy Quest box. You go and put it in the Casablanca box. Like, why is it that complicated?
I love to rearrange Andy's DVDs. They're swapped. Oh. He'll be over there. He'll put them down. Like, why is this in this one? I mean, I don't know.
You know how long it took me to find Equilibrium? Seriously. And that's not just a state of mind. It was an actual movie. Oh. So we are running about a quick lightning round.
Do we have time for the lightning round?
I don't think we really have time for a lightning round.
We have time for a half dozen questions. We have a special guest here.
We have to let him experience the Zappities.
Well, yeah. Okay.
People want his input on some of this stuff.
Yeah, look, we don't have to do the weird crippled system fan ones like
what's your worst
injury?
Like,
we've got like five on Twitter. I got
a good one.
Okay.
I got a good one right away.
Whoa.
Oh, you found it.
That was good. All right. All right. Go ahead, Andy. Is this Facebook or Twitter one?
This is on Twitter.
Okay.
Starscream or Hot Rod, first in the blender?
First in the blender?
I'd say Hot Rod. Immediately, Hot Rod. Because Starscream is awesome.
He was so annoying.
But Hot Rod is even more annoying.
But he was annoying in a Weasley Skeksy kind of way.
Or we could modify it a little bit.
Okay, but you know what? With Hot Rod, there was always I always felt like there was a chance. And I saw the Transformer movie like 100 times as a kid.
Yeah.
So I knew it back to front. But I still always thought that there might be a chance that he would just crush that kid when he transformed. So that was exciting. Like thinking that he might just transform and then there was just like blood oozing out of like the cab.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that picture.
It could be... You know, we could modify the question a bit because you know I think
you
it's
can't modify people.
We could modify it though. We could say Starscream or Rodimus Prime in the blender.
Oh.
I'd say Rodimus Prime.
Yeah,
still
you just hate change.
Hands down, Soundwave is my favorite.
Soundwave. The thing is, like as a kid, I like, had the Soundwave toy, and he has
and
little
the cassettes.
That's like nobody nowadays. Like I'd show that to like my stepson. He's like, what the fuck
the
is
cassettes,
that?
The cassettes that turned into like little panther. I took that. I would take that to school with me. Just the cassette. I'd be like, yeah.
First, we crack the shell. Then we crack the nuts inside.
Yep, and he said, like, circle when you got the which one is it? The Wold, the one with the knockdown.
Guardian.
Wold Guardian.
Yeah. Guardian.
And every time one of those moves around, he says that quote.
Nice.
That wasn't very lightning fast at all. Zappity. All
right.
Grumble.
Best affinity in the game, Makeda or Moloch? I know it's a War Machine question, but best affinity in the game for Makeda and Moloch?
No, best affinity in the game was the question, then his answer was
Makeda
and Moloch.
Good job reading, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Reading's hard.
Reading is hard.
So let's simplify. Best affinity in the
in
game.
The game.
I like Cantankerous.
Which one's that?
Mulg and Doomshaper, where Mulg gets the free attack.
Yeah,
that was going to be mine.
They don't call it Cantankerous anymore.
I'm a little biased, obviously, but that was going to be mine.
I
like
Stealth
one.
And Nightmare with Denny's.
Yeah, super nice.
I actually like Sorsha's.
I was going to say.
The auto freeze.
Especially in a Conquest.
Or Haley's twos.
I know technically Epic's card doesn't have an affinity with the Death Jack, but it's basically there. It's there in spirit. It's not written on the card, but those two together is an affinity.
The affinity that allows him to cast Perdition.
The best affinity in the game is whatever they put on that character Phoenix for Ron. It's going to be awesome, I hope.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What time is 10 a.m. in the German time zone?
You suck in the...
Wow.
You're not allowed to read anymore.
All right.
Jesus
no, seriously,
Christ.
Though. In Who's the Boss, what happens if...
Why
oh, that's a
re-
who the, what the? Okay, here we go. There's an actual one. Kaiju versus Jaeger versus Ogre Mark V. Who wins?
It's Kaiju versus Jaeger.
Damn.
Yeah.
Versus.
Yeah, seriously. This is why he's.
Versus no. What? Versus what?
The Ogre Mark V.
Versus the Ogre Mark V.
Ogre, the minis game by Steve Jackson. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. But the Ogre Mark V would win because it's a giant cybernetic tank the size of a fucking city. And it has like a million nuclear missiles.
All right. Well, if it's the size of a city, I guess that sounds like.
Yeah,
I don't know how to pronounce
with
it.
With treads.
Yeah, like it's
huge. Called Ogre.
Well, I know the Ogre one. I meant the other two.
Jaeger.
You didn't see
German.
He's the only man I know that has seen it.
That is, in fact, the exact same reward. It is like Jaeger Bomb because Jaeger is German for hunter. And so Jaegermeister is a master huntsman, and that's why there's a heart on the on the logo.
And a deer.
It's a male deer that's called a heart. H-A-R-T, not H-E-R.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Rumble.
All right, I can read this one.
God.
You all go camping. Who plays the banjo? Who gets shot? Who goes home as if nothing happened? And who squeals like a piggy?
Nathan squeals like a pig.
Nathan does squeal like a piggy. That is an easy one. Katie plays the banjo?
I don't think you know what movie they're referencing.
I don't.
Okay, because...
I know.
Oh my god!
This is the falling apart stage. So you know where,
where everything just unravels.
Jeremy took control. I'm skipping that one.
All right, fine.
Jeremy's just like, Nathan's definitely the one who gets sodomized by hillbillies.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know that that's
I do know enough about the movie that I knew that was what's true.
And then you also said Katie was definitely the one who sodomizes me.
Well, that part I didn't know. Although it's funny.
And potentially possible.
Oh, my God.
Ask Jeremy. Andy, you ask a question
Andy,
and make it
question.
One that makes Tim not regret ever sitting down at this table.
Too late.
Yeah.
I regret.
We were there like 5 minutes in, to be honest.
We all are at that point. All of our listeners also regret tuning in.
Yeah, that is true.
It was so weird.
Except
we started
at least I read a question.
And then we actually found out we had listeners. We figured we'd do this and we'd do it for 2 weeks and have like 8 listeners and stop.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But like, people actually listen
people
to us.
People actually like post questions and stuff.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, my goodness. Have you played Small World at all? The board game?
No.
Oh, never mind then. Then we'll skip the one asking what's your favorite Small World expansion.
What we could do, it's not Zappity Grumble, but what we could do is I can go get High Command. And then for your panel, we could just play it.
At your panel.
At my panel? It's, yeah. You know what? But again, it's not just my panel.
You're on there with John What's-His-Face.
I'm on it with John What's-His-Face.
Very well-renowned writer. What's his name?
Well, to be fair, Tim's only been sitting next to him all weekend. When would he ever find out his name?
Because we go to conventions, we know a lot of people. I'm bad with names, so people come up to us all the time. It's like, same with you, but I mean, it's like people start talking to you, like, I think I know you, but I don't know. It's always so awkward.
Yeah, like, I've talked to you many times, and I don't know your name.
Let's just kill it.
Well, it was. We did call it at like 10 a.m., too.
Yeah, that's
so,
fine.
I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah, that was so we're done then.
What do you think of Ben Affleck as Batman?
Oh.
No, I like this one. Hacksaw put one in here. This is a Facebook one.
Okay, I'll do a Hacksaw one.
What do you think of Ben Affleck as Batman?
I'm fine with it. I mean, I don't really have a I'm not going to judge this early. I mean, I think just based on Ben Affleck as Batman, I think it'll I think there's a shot it's going to be good. I mean, he's not the same person that he was back when Bennifer was a thing.
No.
Yeah. I like him in the town quite a bit. I mean,
he's a fantastic director. I would kind of prefer him as a director of a Batman movie, sure. But that's not to say that he is, going to come in with the hard Boston accent.
And it's not his fault that Daredevil sucked.
No, it isn't.
Daredevil sucked. Well, sure, but
he didn't bring it down. Yeah. The writing did that before he ever got
here. Yeah, that was not his fault.
So what... As an another question, what did you think of the Superman movie?
I have mixed feelings about it. I liked that they approached it more as like an alien movie than like a, because it really was kind of like a science fiction movie, superhero movie, because they really played up the he's from another planet thing. Obviously, the whole end part with like him just wiping out a city and not batting an eye feels a little weird.
The rubble of the city.
The rubble of the city, and then and then deciding like, oh, now I'm going to have a conscience, and I'm going to stop this guy before he kills three
right.
People.
And that was weird because like I mean,
he's killed a 250,000 people.
Yeah, like and then like the better save this Asian family or whatever.
Yeah.
but what I didn't understand is he's got Zod in the headlock, and like why couldn't Zod just like turn his eyes, like he didn't have to turn his whole head. He could just kind of like look to the side to get that extra 3 feet.
Maybe
I don't know how
Kryptonian thing we don't know
how
about.
It works. But
they can't rotate their eyeballs. They can only rotate their heads.
I think that my feelings about him killing Zod and all that damage. Whether or not that's validated depends a lot on how the sequel goes. Because, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
If he, the next time we see him, he's like, okay, now this is why I don't kill. I'm not okay with this that happened. And this is why, he develops that credo of I'd never kill.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, if we get to that point and so now we've seen him kill somebody and it affects him so much that then he becomes the Superman that we all know, I'm gonna give it a little bit more leeway and I'm gonna say, okay, we had to do that in order for him to reach this character point where he's like, I'm gonna be
like from now on. Yeah, like from now on he now knows that he's gonna take the fight out of the city
and
you don't want Superman without a conscience. Like that just doesn't make sense.
No, right. Well, so he has to
long-term, thing, so, long-term.
But yeah. But you have to give him a little bit of leeway in terms of like, he's brand new at this. Yeah. He's new and he's like, okay, so I snapped this guy's neck. You know what? I didn't like that. Okay, this is my thing now. I'm not going to do that again.
And sure. Also just the manner, not manners, but like today's day and age, today's society, the total cookie or clean cut Superman of the 50s and whatnot just isn't the style
anymore.
It's
a little boring. I mean, it's a little...
You know, the next movie is going to be Lex Luthor with another real estate scam. It's like, I got this one. It's like, I got
oh,
it.
Oh, my God.
Now.
I can't wait for another real estate scam.
I mean, doing nothing illegally, just flipping houses.
Oh, my God.
He's gonna be slightly illegal. He does for villain layers. Like, he buys the Joker's old layer and flips it and sells it to the Riddler. All right, and then actually that movie ties into then. We'll do the last one here because Hacks always does good stuff. Childhood movie or series that deserves a reboot.
Ooh.
And I'm not allowed to say Full House, apparently. He specifically said that.
It deserves
Gummy Bears.
Gummy Bears is legit, man.
I want to see Gummy Bears brought back, but like in like a cool... Because that was basically a cartoon about drug use.
Yeah.
You know?
Steroids.
CG?
Delicious.
Well, you know, I'm going to say no, but I have no choice in that because because everything is CG.
But if you had a choice, though.
I would say no. I would say traditional 2D animation. Oh, I don't think we have enough of that anymore.
I would agree with that. I would actually, I was talking about this with Nathan on the way over. I would really love to see DuckTales remade. I love and miss DuckTales.
They did remake the video game.
Yes, which got very bad reviews about that.
Really?
Yep.
How did it get bad reviews? It's the same game.
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah, but it's
the same game, but then they needlessly
later.
Changed the graphics, I guess. Like, I guess. Why not just make it downloadable?
But yeah, like, I love DuckTales. I loved, like, I mean, Darkwing Duck started as, like, a little tiny mini side thing of DuckTales. Like, I love DuckTales.
You know it could be super Woo! Legit if it was... Yeah, no, that's in
That was all part of my after-school routine.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, like Tailspin.
Tailspin,
DuckTales.
Rescue Rangers.
Rescue Rangers.
Oh, now I'm going to sing
Darkwing
Rescue
Duck,
song.
Darkwing Duck, of course, which yep. I do have...
Once it became its own thing.
One of the Milwaukee Press Gangers, Travis, we call him Sam, he modded a Gorman DeWolf as Darkwing Duck for me, so I have that now.
Cool. Hi, but, Sam. We have to call him at least once, otherwise he gets very sad.
Mine, what could be super legit if it was slightly edgier, like a PG, almost maybe even PG-13, would be a reboot of Inspector Gadget.
See, but then it's not a kid. If it's PG-13,
it doesn't
it's not
have to be. Then PG-ish, like you know, a little
like an R-rated version where he's R-rated. Those, he finds a whole new
version. Where he actually gets you Gadget.
Look at like the Teen Titans comic one or the Teen Titans one from like 5-6 years ago that they did on Cartoon Network, or whatever. Which yeah. It's got some.
It does have some edginess
darkness,
to it.
Edginess to it. It's still kid friendly, but the villain is scary. People get hurt and everything. If you did that, a little more serious version of Inspector Gadget, because he's a cool concept for a character.
Yeah,
he is a cool idea.
Well,
might have to lose that trench coat, though. They got to lose the trench coat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a little creepy in this day and age.
Mine, I have two things I want rebooted, so I'm going to...
Pick one.
No, it's Thundar the Barbarian.
It's not Thundar, but that was roaming in my head first. No, one is Sledgehammer.
Sure.
I would love to see Sledgehammer made again.
That was a good children's movie back in the day.
Well, actually, it said childhood. It didn't say children, so you can cheat.
And I want to see The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, yes.
That needs to be remade.
In my brain, I remember that sometime recently being remade and failing miserably. No, maybe I'm just
no. I don't think so. But that they've released the DVDs of it.
That was
a great
concept.
That needs to come out again.
The
they need to have
him
somebody
a super suit, and he loses the instruction manual.
Exactly.
everything in my childhood has been remade already. So,
oh come on, nothing.
Everything.
G.I.
Joe Transformers,
but G.I. Joe remade well.
Well, I mean, remade well.
They could remake my favorite childhood show, middle-aged, genetically normal aliens. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Thanks, Michael Bay.
Yeah.
They don't need to be teenage or mutant or turtles when I do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They may not even be ninjas.
As long as there's enough explosions, right, Michael?
Yeah. Actually, that's a very minor rage.
That
was
a very minor.
Usually, when he goes to Michael Bay, we all
I'm
take
so,
a step back.
I'm so exhausted of raging against Michael Bay. He ruins everything. Ever. What about you, Tim?
I said gummy bears.
Oh, you said gummy bears. He went first. I blacked out because of Michael Bay.
The Michael Bay thing threw you off.
Why are they aliens, you useless pile of shit?
All right. So, recommendations are we done?
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you recommend, Ethan?
I recommend not forgetting that we're going to podcast early and having a recommendation ready.
All right, Jeremy.
I'm going to recommend mustard.
Which one?
Any of them. There are many varieties of mustard. It's a delicious condiment. It's super low in calories. Ketchup tastes like ketchup and makes everything you put it on taste like ketchup. So take the ketchup out of your fridge. Number one, take the ketchup out of your fridge. You don't have to refrigerate it. You can keep it room temperature. That's why diners always have it room temperature, and that way it doesn't make your burger cold when you spray cold ketchup on it. Number two, then take it from its room temperature location and throw it the fuck out because it ruins food. Use mustard and mayonnaise and other things instead.
I wish Katie were here to counterpoint you.
We have the mustard museum here up in Middleton, and they've got thousands of mustards.
Welcome to Wisconsin.
The world mustard
I think
museum.
That's a repeat.
Have you had cheese nuggets? People have to have cheese nuggets when they're
if
Wisconsin,
I've recommended mustard before, that's here. Hilarious.
Yeah, fried cheese curds. They are
have you had fried cheese curds up
no,
in
No, I haven't.
Somebody make a run to Culver's after this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hesitant at the word curd.
It's delicious.
Yeah, no, cheese curds are good.
Cheese curds are just like giant cottage cheese without the liquid.
I did try your local beer last night. The
Which one?
Spotted Cow.
Yep. Oh, yes. Spotted Cow. What'd you think of Spotted Cow?
I don't usually drink pale beers, but it was good for, you know, for that.
They've got my favorite one that they do is a nut brown, the Fat Squirrel.
Yeah. I'm the same. I don't drink pale beers, and Spotted Cow is delicious to me. And I guess that's high praise.
I mean, I had no
if something you normally
it,
don't
yeah.
like, there's a subset of it that's good. That shows a good thing.
Yeah.
It'd so be like if there was a good Michael Bay movie. it's like Falling Down's a great movie because it's a Joel Schumacher movie with no nipples on anything.
Yeah. There you go. Your recommendation, right, Jeremy?
Did you recommend Firefly last week?
I'm recommending Firefly right now.
No, I'm recommending Firefly.
I just did Firefly, the board game.
The new Firefly board game is amazing. I've now played it twice.
And did recommend this last week.
Damn it. Did we?
Yeah.
Did we really?
Yes. And in fact, I think the same thing happened where one of you wanted to recommend it, and so the other one had to come up with something else. You incompetent buffoon. You're making me look bad in front of Tim. That's what's making you look bad.
All right, Andy, you go ahead. I'll apparently have to think of something else.
I don't know what I...
What?
Jesus.
Wow, we are just not
10 a.m.
this morning.
Oh, my
hey,
God.
My recommendation is not getting up earlier than 12 to do a podcast.
You're sorry. We're up at 7. We play like 12 hours of board games, me and Jeremy.
Yeah, last night.
Oh,
during the day, tried to stab you.
Okay. My recommendation is play more Borderlands 2.
Yes.
Yeah, it's we've already repeated it, but I haven't played it a lot of it, but I've started going through all the expansions in my second playthrough and making sure I complete them all to completion. You could probably skip what's his name?
Big Game Hunter.
That's
Big Game Hunter. It's the weakest.
So
the expansions.
Boring.
Yeah,
I just started Tiny Tina's big adventure.
Dragon.
Keep one.
D&D
and
Borderlands together at last.
Oh
yes,
so good. Just the beginning of a Torg in there. Everything dealing with Torg is awesome. And, yeah, I recommend playing more Borderlands.
I will recommend the expansion to Lords of Waterdeep.
That's legit.
I've got to play it.
That expansion is amazing. It keeps all the core mechanics there, adds a few new locations, a few new buildings, and a few new intrigue cards. But it's just more fun.
It's one of those expansions I would literally never play the base game again. There's no reason not to play with the expansions. It's strict improvement, and the original game's good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like
StarCraft.
StarCraft, or
for a lighter one, King of Tokyo, or whatever. Yeah. It's not like we were talking before recording about like the Battlestar Galactica game. You can mix and match, and some of the elements are good, and some of the expansion are good.
Yeah.
The Lords of Waterdeep one is just like, hey, this game that's good is now even better.
Yeah, I would play with every element of that, every element of StarCraft. I agree with Battlestar, only some. I mean, you guys, you know, but still, there's a variant, whether it's a little or a lot. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not required where these games... It's a great game enhanced even more.
Yeah, I never knew what was missing from that game until the expansions are like, by the way, this is what was missing. I'm like, apparently that's true.
Yeah. So I recommend the expansion for Lords of Waterdeep. Came on sale last week Tuesday.
Cool.
Of course, we could have been cool recommended. It's a cool comic that we all, you know. Okay.
it'd be bad of him to recommend. I think you should read Control Alt
Delete. I haven't recommended anything yet. Score! You should go read the webcomic Control Alt Delete. I win!
if we were more professional, we would have had to
someone
slowly
would have
snuck
that
in. Yeah. But,
no, like seriously, I said this several times already on the podcast, but I love the
You're
Control
the dedicated
webcomic.
Reader.
The rest of you guys skim it.
No, I watch
every single comic, and I regularly email them to my wife when I find them hilarious. She still refers to the one with Lila and Lucas lying in bed, and her feet are cold like the
cloth.
She says that I married her, and so now half my body warmth belongs to her.
Yep.
So she still references that comic that I sent her.
As Wisconsin State law, half your body warmth is
apparently. So yes, go read Control. I personally recommend you start at the beginning and read it all the way through. I think it's one that the more recent ones, like you said, are kind of one offs, and you could read them by themselves. But the storyline with Lucas and Lila and Ethan and Zeke, and like, it would be very confusing to jump into the middle of. I'd say start
sure.
to
yeah.
work your way
probably.
Through.
And that's when I go to a comic, I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on. Start, and like 3 days later, I'm like, I probably should have done some kind of work the last 3 days.
That's the best way. I discovered El Gunnar Shive like 2 or 3 years into their cycle, and I was like, it ended, and I was like, oh, God, now what do I do with my life?
There was one time where somebody linked, like, I just randomly found a web comic, and I. An entire day, this was back when I had a cubicle job. I clicked the start and I read through the whole thing, and that was my day at work, which was just 8 hours of reading through this webcomic, and it turned out that that day was the last one.
Oh.
I was like, oh well, there, God. Okay then. I guess that's...
So that happened.
Yeah. Done. Oh.
That's a bummer.
All right, so now you can recommend something. I jumped.
Oh, there's pressure suddenly to recommend
something. All right, well, my recommendation will be, Sir, You Are Being Hunted. It's an indie game that just came out, and basically it's kind of like a survival horror game, and you are being hunted by gentleman English robots, and if you picture gentleman hunting with the bloodhounds and the hats and the monocles and whatnot,
like Hammer Off,
except they're robots. and you're basically like you're being hunted by them. You are the prey, and like so you're creeping through the fields, and it's like a survival horror sort of a thing. And it's
what systems is it on?
PC.
PC
is
only.
It multiplayer?
Yeah, yeah. Is it on Steam, I assume?
No, it's not multiplayer. It is on Steam, I think.
I'm intrigued. I am also intrigued.
Yeah, it's
the
a pretty...
The concept seems great.
It's pretty neat. And actually, it's not out yet, but I would also probably recommend Spy Party. I don't know if you've heard of...
I've heard of it. I haven't.
Heard of Spy Party. Spy Party is a really cool, asymmetrical, one versus one, incredibly intense social game where one person is at like a dinner party and they are the spy and they have to carry out certain objectives around the room. The other person is a sniper viewing the entire room, and they have to figure out which one of these
NPCs,
characters, yeah, is the, you know, is the spy. Is the spy by using social cues and all sorts of other things. Like, and the sniper knows basically what the spy is trying to do around the room. So it's incredibly intense, and you get one shot.
Yep.
You get one shot to take him out, and if you're wrong, you lose. You've killed a civilian.
That's kind of like a very pared-down, pure version of the multiplayer for the Assassin's Creed 3, the most recent Assassin's Creed, the Revolutionary War.
Yeah,
you know, where the multiplayer that is, it's all NPCs,
right,
and
yeah,
you have to meld in, except yeah, this is, yeah.
To a degree, yeah, it is that. And then, you know, and having it one versus one, it's so intense, and he actually is just, the beta's ongoing, he just started updating the graphics, and it looks gorgeous. Because when it first started circulating, it was like basically programmer graphics. It was very basic, blocky. Yeah,
sure.
But now he's got an actual artist doing it, and it's going to be – I think it's – I've played the beta, so I know the game is good, but I think the game plus the graphics, I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
I've definitely
heard
about it, although it's possible I heard about it on your website. So.
Could be. I've talked about it. I have mentioned it a few times.
That may be where I heard about it. But, yeah, I have heard good things. That's kind of humorous, but it's true.
Jeremy, you could have stopped halfway through that one.
I could have, but I didn't.
No.
You illiterate, adorable monkey.
I read good.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah, that was how long do we go?
Completely out of energy. It seems about the appropriate time to stop.
Hour 35. Well, pretty good.
Wow. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
So, hearty special thanks to our guest.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tim.
Thank you for having me.
The famous and infamous Tim Buckley.
Yes. Thanks. I was happy to be here. Yeah. A lot of fun. Yeah.
You don't have to lie.
Now you've experienced the podcast.
You said you were happy to be here. You didn't say that you're currently happy.
Well, when you got here,
I was happy.
Because I thought it was over.
And then we made him podcast.
I was happy because there were donuts, and then it turned out that this thing sucked, so I'm not happy anymore.
When did this microphone get here?
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.